Good evening, everybody. It's so good to see everyone out this evening, especially those that weren't able to make it out this morning. It's good to see you here, Nella. We're glad you're able to get out. Gary, we're glad your surgery went well. And Chelsea, we're glad that she was back with us this evening, and continue to pray that things will go well for her and Christy. We also need to keep Sister Pat in our prayers. And as I mentioned earlier, she's having some extra challenges right now, and we need, she sent another message and said that the prayers are appreciated, but it want her to contact her and let her know, ask her if there's anything we can do to help her at this time. Then also, if you are going to be in the class Sunday morning, pick up one of the handouts that's on the table in the back. This evening, I want us to look at something we don't talk about too often, about expediencies and what is a biblical expediency. When we look at the work and the worship of the church, we have different types of authority, specific authority, general authority. We've got commands, examples, a necessary inference or an unavoidable conclusion. You might have a situation that comes up and you draw certain conclusions from that, but the unavoidable conclusion or the necessary inference are the ones that are binding. And then we also have what's called expedience. And that word is in the Bible. We will look at that. But an expedient is something that helps us expedite or carry out a command. And everything that we do and practice in our work and worship, we must have authority for that, for everything that we do for our King. We learn that in one place from Matthew chapter 7, because those that do something without authority, he says, depart from me, you who work iniquity without authority. But when we have generic and specific commands, that gives us options. So we have the command to baptize people. We could use what we have here, a baptistry. We could use a pool. We could use a swimming pool. We could use a river. We could use an ocean. Anything that is large enough to go out into the water, and for the one that's being baptized to go under the water and then to come out. Any of those would work, because that command to baptize is general. My mother was baptized in a creek in Tennessee. Maybe somebody here has been baptized in a creek or a pond, something like that. A generation ago, that was not uncommon at all. But today, instead of us going out and looking for a creek or a pond or some public place, we use a baptistry, which expedites, helps us carry out the command to be baptized. Now, could I use a cereal bowl of water to baptize somebody, and I take my hands and go like this and say, you're baptized? Can't do that. See, that's substituting. That's not carrying out the command, because we know that baptism is a burial. A burial. We have to be covered with water. You think about the command to assemble. We are not to forsake the assembling. That command is specific in the point to assemble and not forsake it, but it's general because we have options. We can meet in a building. We can own the building. We can rent the building. There's a preacher in Indiana that I knew that died not too many months ago. And one of the things that I read about him after he died, when places were shut down and they weren't allowed to come together to assemble, he was holding services out in a field. Out in a field. That we have authority for that. We come together. The place just helps us expedite that command. that field is great, but if it's raining or snowing or there's a blizzard or a hurricane or tornado, it's a little bit safer to be in a building. The command to sing. We can use songbooks. We can use PowerPoint. I was at a place one time and they had an overhead projector with the sheets, and they would lay a sheet down and then everybody would look up at the screen. Nothing wrong with that. We have options. The command to teach. We are told to teach. We can do that in so many different ways. You think about teaching in general. We could have a TV program. We could have a radio program. We could use DVDs. We can use film strips. We could use blackboards, whiteboards, green boards. When I was growing up, some of the preachers used flannel boards. We can teach all together like this, or we can teach and have separate classes for different ages. We have authority to expedite that because that command is general. It's general. We can use the Bible only. We can use the Bible and literature to help us. Something like this to help expedite, to get our thoughts centered around what we are going to study. However, men have sought to justify a multitude of things by the claim that we can do this because it's an expediency to do it this way. To say that differently, they're saying the end justifies the means, and that anything that we want to accomplish that we think is good is permissible because we're going to call this is an expedient way to do that. But in order for a thing to be expedient, it must facilitate the accomplishment of God's will. That's important to remember. It must be in harmony with His will. So let's consider some things to help us understand what a Bible expediency is. One of the first things for something to be expedient, it must be lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Another translation, instead of expedient, uses helpful. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." We need to understand that for something to be expedient, it has to be in the realm of what is lawful, something that is authorized. If there's no precept, no command, no example, no unavoidable conclusion, the thing that we are doing is unlawful, and we cannot justify it by saying something that makes it an expediency. So let's say Sunday after services, we go down to the diner, we go to Cassano's, we go to Subway, we all get together and we eat every Sunday after services, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to do that. We ought to do that more often as groups. But say one day we're down at the diner and we're eating and somebody says, "Why don't we get an oven and a refrigerator and put them in the building, and then that'll save us so much time, that'll expedite when we come together, you know, to eat." Is there anything wrong with that? We've got to ask the question, is it lawful? Is it lawful? Is that the work that the church is engaged in? Now, we know the Christians did that individually. They went from house to house breaking bread. But can we see where the church, from the Lord's money, spent those funds to engage in social activities? The closest thing that we have that comes to mentioning that is in the book of Corinthians, when they were making a common meal out of the Lord's Supper. And what did Paul tell them? get something to make that easier? No, he said, you've got houses. Eat in your houses at home. Don't bring it into the assembly. That is not part of the work of the church. So whatever we are talking about must be lawful. It can't go beyond the word of the Lord. In 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we don't go by what I think and feel, but we walk by faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what about the silence of God? If he's silent, then we can do it, right? No, silence does not authorize. We have to speak as the oracles of God. Did God tell Cain not to offer from the fruits of the ground? He didn't say that. And how do we know that? Because when we get to Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says that Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. How did he have faith? God told him what to do. God's not going to tell us everything not to do. When he tells us what to do, that excludes everything else. Nadab and Abihu, they got strange fire for the altar. And what was God's response to that? He struck them dead. And Moses said, this is what I said, God's holy, and those that come to before him must treat him as holy. Now, did God tell Nadab and Abihu, don't use strange fire? Didn't need to. He told them what to do. And another thing that they did that was wrong, that fire was to never go out. So they were asleep on the job. They let the fire go out, and then they went and got strange fire, and we see God's displeasure. And so many people will say, but God didn't say we can't do this. Friends, we've got to get back to positive authority, speaking as the oracles of God, give a thus saith the Lord, it is written, and in order for a thing to be expedient, it must be lawful. In order for a thing to be expedient, it cannot be specified. And this point just helps us clarify what an expediency is. If God tells us to do something, if he specifies something, then we have no choice to obey or not obey when he tells us to do that. God has authorized what he wants done. To go beyond what is specified or to substitute then is to add to what God has said, instead of aiding in obedience to the word. So the baptistry will aid in baptizing someone. If we were singing and then we brought in, I said, I think we need an organ, let's bring in an organ. Some people would say that aids in it sounding better, and that was one of the excuses they used originally for bringing an instrument of music into a congregation, and people objected so much about that, rightfully so, that the instrument was removed for a number of years. But you see, that instrument doesn't aid, because then you're changing the command. When he tells us to sing, that excludes playing. So for a thing to be expedient, it cannot be specified. When we say, when we use something, it's got to aid, not be an addition or a substitution. To think of it this way, God commands us to baptize, to bury someone in baptism. Can we sprinkle? Is sprinkling an aid? Is sprinkling an aid, is that an expedient? That's how it got started, when people were sick and in the hospital, and, well, we can't take somebody out and baptize them in the river, we'll get a priest to come and put his hands in some water and sprinkle them. They saw that as an expediency. That is a digression that is going beyond the word of God. But then a baptistry, that doesn't violate the command, and it expedites, it helps carry out the command to baptize, to immerse somebody. You think about a missionary society or any organization that men build and maintain to do the work of the church. Is that an aid? A lot of people will argue that that's an aid. Look, if we'll build this organization and that will aid us in teaching. We'll get all these churches together and that will help assist us, help aid us in getting the gospel out to the whole world. But again, can we read about that in the New Testament? We can't. We can't. It's the individual congregation's responsibility. We have no pattern of working with another congregation. And it's interesting too, when it comes to the point of money, the pattern you see today, you have these big giant mega churches that don't need any money, but who are they asking money from? All of these little churches and individuals that don't have much. And that's just the opposite of what you read about in the Bible. The one that had the supply sent to the one that had the need. It's not an expediency to create a institution to do the work of the Lord. It's an addition. It's an addition. And again, Peter talks about Peter the elder, a fellow elder, talks about doing the work among the congregation. When we were in Philippians this morning, we saw the organization in Philippians 1:1 of what makes up a congregation, the deacons, the elders, and the saints, and their authority does not extend beyond the local congregation. There's no authority. That did not come about in the Lord's Church in America till around the 1800s, 1850s, with the Christian Missionary Society. And again, some man came up and said, hey, I've got this idea. This will help carry out the work of the Lord's church. And it split the church. And rightfully so, because you cannot find that in God's word. Well, for a thing to be expedient, it must edify. 1 Corinthians 10:23-33. And in 1 Corinthians 14:26, let all things be done unto edifying. If a thing be a matter of choice or expediency, human wisdom or judgment, and its practice tears down what God would have built up by creating division, that is sinful or wrong. But in order for a thing to be expedient, it must edify. Bible classes. Some people are opposed to Bible classes. Bible classes expedite the command to teach. Gospel meetings, they expedite the command to edify. We edify with Bible classes, we edify with gospel meetings. We can do it other ways. But one of the criteria for something to be expedient, it must edify. And again, if we're doing the will of God as He requires it, we have no choice but to obey God. Acts 5:28, did we not straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So a lot of things, the problem comes about because people want to listen to some man instead of listening to God. And again, you see division as a result of that. You see things that we would talk about the denominations years ago. I can't believe they're doing that. And now you can see and hear about churches with the name Church of Christ doing those same things. If it's non-essential, God having left the choice to our wisdom, and we demand to enforce something that causes division, that's a sin. But we've got to understand authority, the difference between general authority and specific authority, and then the leeway that we have in expediencies, something to carry things out. And again, the Bible is an amazing book because it was written in such a way that any culture at any time in history can carry out the commands of God. If it was so specific, a lot of cultures and a lot of times in history wouldn't have been able to carry it out. But you think about the worship, it's so simple. You think about the Lord's Supper, the elements are so simple. You think about what he commands us to do to be saved. The water, the earth is 3/4 of it is covered with water. I mean, these are common elements. He didn't say, you know, climb up to the highest mountain and pick this special fruit off this tree that only bears fruit once every 3 years and use this. But unleavened bread and the fruit of the wine, common elements. He gives us leeways in things. And again, we can teach, we can edify on the internet. We can reach masses of people in ways that we couldn't just a few years ago. Well, in order for a thing to be expedient, it must not offend the conscience of a brother. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense, neither to the Jews nor the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, with authority, with expediencies, with anything we're talking about in God's Word, we need to understand the words. And where do we need to go to understand them? We need to go to a good Bible dictionary. Because a lot of the words we use today are different. They have a different meaning than what we can read about in God's Word. Again, God's Word was written in a dead language, a language that's not going to change. So if we want to know what he's telling us, it's easy to get out W.E. Vines, Thayer, other scholars, and we can learn what the word means. So offend. Offend signifies to put a snare or a stumbling block in the way. Offense was originally the name of the part of a trap to which the bait is attached, hence the trap or snare itself, as in Romans 11:9, stumbling block quoted from Psalm 69:22, and in Revelation 2:14, for Balaam's device was rather a trap for Israel than a stumbling block to them. So in the biblical sense of offending would be to cause somebody to sin. Doesn't mean their feelings are out of joint or they don't like something, but it causes them to sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this issue was discussed with eating meats that had been offered to idols. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? So say someone came out of idolatry, they become a Christian, and then someone in the church at Corinth goes into an idol's temple and buys some of the meat and starts eating it. Again, like with a lot of the sacrifices, they would offer up part and keep the choicest parts of meat for other things. So this Christian, he says, I know that idol is nothing, doesn't mean a thing, so I'm going to go in and eat. But then this brother who has this weak conscience, he doesn't have a knowledge of this, and he sees this brother going in there, so he goes back to worshiping idols. It becomes a stumbling block to him. It leads him to sin. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin, go against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sinned against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So again, offend, he's talking about causing them to sin. He's not talking about doing something that another brother or sister may not like, but it's causing them to sin. I know of a congregation that years ago, when something would come up, if somebody disagreed, they objected to it, they'd say, okay, we won't do it. We won't do it. And over time, you know what that congregation ended up doing? Not much at all. They did basically nothing, because every time somebody would come up, they would object. And it's like we have the saying, it's the tail wagging the dog. It wouldn't be causing somebody to sin, but I just don't like that. I don't think we should paint the walls white. I think we should paint them blue. Okay, we just won't paint them. We won't do this. We'll just go on. But that's not what it's talking about. Offend in the Bible means to lead another to sin. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and notice in chapter 4 beginning verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Why was Jesus delivered up to the cross? Because of our offenses. Does that mean because we made him feel the wrong way? No. Offenses are sin. And again, when we come to expediencies, we all need to understand the terminology that we're using to rightly divide God's word. So to use the word as the Bible does, if you're offended, then you're committing a sin, not feeling. Because a sin is a transgression of God's law, and you're going back to live the life of the old man, like in Corinth, where someone would be led back into idolatry. So for a thing to be an expedient, we cannot claim an addition to God's word or a substitution for God's word as a way of expediency. And again, that's how so many things are brought in to the churches. Christ has commanded us teach. He's not specified the method, but he has specified the organization which is to do it. The church, the pillar and ground of the truth, is to do the teaching. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living pillar, the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So the church is to do the teaching. And we have no choice as to the organization to do or build another organization to do the work of the church. You think about a school, and there are schools where men are taught the Bible so they can go out and teach God's word. Is there anything wrong with the school that exists to teach men God's word to go out to help them build themselves up? In and of itself, there's nothing wrong. but that organization can't take the place of the church. And then when you come to the aspect of money, can you take money out of the Lord's treasury to give to that school to teach men to go out and do the Lord's work? You can't, because then you create a whole new organization. We've put the school in charge of doing the church's work, and we'll funnel them money from here, and there's no authority for that. But they'll say that's an expedient way to do it. And again, men on their own can go out and start a school, but you can't take money from the treasury for that. You can't do it. You're changing the organization of the work. Back to the teaching, though. So the organization is the Lord's church. And it's a general command. And then we have a choice to the method we're going to do it. We can do it publicly. We can do it privately. We can do both. We can do both. And we do that. And when we have a gospel meeting coming up, that's going to be publicly. We're going to try to reach the community. And hopefully we'll get some study set up. Hopefully we'll get some study set up before then. And we can go into somebody's home and do it privately. But that's a generic command to teach. And he has not specified the specific method. Again, an entire assembly or a class with human aids or without. I'm teaching tonight with something that some of us older people were never exposed to when we were younger. And that's a laptop and a computer and a PowerPoint. Is there anything wrong with it? No, it's not changing the command. It's not substituting. This is something using to expedite the command. When we're told to drink the cup and to eat the bread, we have no choice in what those elements are. Do we have other choices? We do. We could have one cup. We could have multiple cups. We could do it at the beginning of the service, in the middle of the service, at the end of the service. He doesn't specify that. And again, God, the way he has revealed himself to us and instructed us what to do, he's made it so simple. And what does man want to do? What do they want to do? They want to go and change it. And then they use different excuses, and expediency is one of the excuses that they use to justify what they want to do or what they don't want to do. What they don't want to do. So again, one of the things to consider with an expediency, and a lot of the things about the work and worship of the church, when we read in the New Testament, we read about that falling under the oversight of the elders. And that's something, again, we should always be praying that this congregation will have elders someday. We want this congregation to be like the other congregations in the New Testament. We want men capable. Maybe we just keep praying that people will move into the area. Men will want to come and bring their families from other areas to work in this area. If we believe in the power of prayer, we need to be praying for the things that we need. We need to be seeking the kingdom first. And I appreciate Brother Code's comments and prayers where he prays for this congregation in this location. Because you gotta go quite a bit when you head west of here to find another Church of Christ. And there's a lot of lost souls between here and there. Bible expediency. Bible expediency helps, it expedites to carry out the command. We have a baptistry here. This helps expedite the command to be baptized. Who wants to be baptized tonight? Who wants to be baptized? We're commanded to baptize others. We know that Paul warned the Thessalonians that the Christ is going to come back with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Everything is ready. The only thing that is left is for you to accept God's word. Again, dear friends, if there's anybody here this evening that wants to be obedient, please don't put it off. Don't put it off another day, another night. Please come forward now as we stand and sing.